You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
Well, we figured we'd have a good one, and so far it's lived up to expectations. 15 minutes remaining in regulation, 23-20, Monmouth on top of Cornell. Big Red have the football right now in Monmouth territory, first and 10 from the Hawk 42-yard line. That last Monmouth scoring drive, 12 plays, 61 yards. Quick flare pass to the outside. That is a backwards lateral, double pass set up as everyone in red getting rocked on that play. Amrine flipped it outside to Tasker. Amrine was decked by Sullivan, and then Pat Gray came up and hit Tasker as he was about set to throw the football.
Which was good because Cornell had receivers open on the gadget play. The double pressure by MU kept that from being a big, big red play.
Second down now and 10. Gallantly in the slot to the right, along with Jake Allen as the wide man to the right. Mama's showing blitz, and here they come. Amrine lets it go over the middle. He's got a man open in Tasker. Running free down inside the 10, inside the 5. Will get tackled at the 1. Well, credit Chris Amrine for hanging in there. Knew he was going to take a shot and put a ball on the mark to Luke Tasker.
I'll tell you, that is quarterback play at its finest. Amrine threw it in the teeth of the rush. Colin Cooper was in his grill on an A-gap blitz, and he hit a streaking receiver for the big first down. I thought he got in. Pat Gray did well to bring him down.
So does the crowd on the far sideline, as there was a replay put up on the video board. But now instead it's first and goal. Split backfield for Amrine. Comes up, quarterback sneak attempt. Don't think he got anywhere close to getting in. Not even sure if he made the line of scrimmage. It'll go as no gain and set up second and goal from the 1 yard line.
He didn't move at all. And what they did was with one receiver out, big package, they thought that Amrine, who's a pretty tall customer in his own right, could get in. Now what you have to watch for this close is play action. He might have actually lost half the length of the football.
Now they'll go back to more of their goal line package, which is a wildcat look. Silas Nacida will send Gallantly in motion across the formation. Nacida will keep it and will get into the end zone for a touchdown. Cornell back up now 26-23 with the extra point upcoming.
Well, now these two teams are going to go back and forth. And with the score differential the way it is, this game has a very interesting ending to it, because if Cornell can put this through, MU will just be down by the 4 points, which means they'll need a score, as there is a Hawk down. Is that?
That's Dan Sullivan.
Right.
Who has his helmet off and is in the Cornell end zone right now. Looks to be in pretty good pain. 26-23 Cornell. Silas Nacida scoring for the second time today. Both have been 1 yard touchdown runs. Might just be a cramp for Sullivan, which sounds strange to say on a cool day.
If you're not hydrated, they can catch you at any time.
Training staff out there. This extra point big, as it takes the field goal out of play a little bit. So just as Monmouth goes up top with their first lead of the day, Cornell able to respond right back with a scoring drive that took all of 64 seconds to get down the field.
You know, the way that Danny's walking off the field, I think he may have called it spot on. He's trying to give it a run a little bit. He's actually going to run off the field about 15 yards ahead of the athletic training staff, and hopefully he's okay, obviously, so crucial to what MU does defensively.
Here is John Wells on for the extra point. He will work out of the hold of Tasker. This to make it 27-23. Low snap, good hold. Hildebrandt Jr. almost blocked it, but instead it knuckles through. Cornell 27, Monmouth 23. We step out for 30 seconds. We're back with more Hawk football right after this quick timeout on the Shore Sports Network.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
14 minutes, 3 seconds remaining here from Schoelkopf Field. Matt Harmon, Eddie Iacopinti on the Shore Sports Network. Big Red have taken the lead back, 27-23. First final of the day coming through. Central Connecticut State gets their first win of the year. They knock off previously undefeated in the league, Duquesne, 38-31.
And the other score we were keeping our eye on, which was at one point 10-0 St. Francis, Pennsylvania, is now at 12:30 to go in the third quarter. Albany 22, St. Francis 13.
So after the touchdown from Nasita and the extra point from Wells, Cornell up by 4. Wells will step into it at the 35-yard line. Gives this one a ride, hangs it into the wind. Nagy returnable from the 7-yard line. At the far side, hash mark gets upfield. Tried to spin off a tackle at the 19, down there at the 19-yard line, where it'll be first and 10 for Monmouth. Tanner Rout running down the field, making the tackle.
Well, now we'll have to see if the offense and Kyle Frazier, Matt, who's been spectacular today. 24 out of 31, 287, 2 touchdowns, can get things going again. They've looked really good here in the second half, scoring a touchdown, or rather settling for a field goal on their last drive. See if they can put more points up here.
Three wide receiver set. Frazier looking to throw right away. Roberts makes the catch, breaks the tackle to 25, gets forward to the 30, out over the 35, taken down at the 36-yard line. That will go as a 15-yard gain. Tackle made by Brian G. Hawks right back to work here. Eye set off to the right of Frazier. Split wide receiver set. Asante taking his turn in the backfield, running off the right side. Gets to the 38-yard line, gain of 2. Brings up a 2nd and 8.
Now, a full-fledged quarterback shootout has unfolded. Amrine has 352 in the air. That last completion put Frazier over 300 yards as well. A good old-fashioned shootout in Ithaca.
We thought we might have one, but we thought it would be Jeff Matthews doing it, not Chris Amrine, who has played very well today as the backup quarterback for Cornell. Frazier gets the snap, has time, now going to move off to his right, run to the Cornell sideline and dump it out of bounds. Great coverage down the field as red jerseys blanketing the 4 wide receivers that were out in the pattern for MU, and it will bring up now a 3rd down and 8.
One of those receivers, a limping Mike McLafferty, who he's really battled injuries all season long, so productive and so good, but he's not at 100%. He's going to remain on the field, however, as the one tight end in this set. Big 3rd down.
Trips formation this time off to the left. McLafferty, Sumlin, and Roberts up top. Sterling, Farsan down to the right. Frazier gets it. Cornell rushes 3. They drop 8. Frazier in trouble, eludes the rush, looking for somebody to be open. Now we'll step up from the pocket and get taken down to the 35-yard line. They dropped 8, Cornell did. Double covered basically everybody that was in the pattern. Frazier tried to keep the play alive, but couldn't find anybody down the field.
Although Kyle has thrown for over 300, a lot of these plays, when Cornell drops 7 or 8, they'd play a very effective zone, and there was nowhere to throw the football.
Kyle Moore on to punt. Luke Tasker back deep. Cornell looking to put a punt block on. There was early pressure. Not sure who moved first. Number 22, Tanner Rout, who we just talked about, made a special teams tackle. I think got Monmouth to jump offensively. It'll back the Hawks up 5 yards and set them up now with a 4th and 16.
I thought if you came across the line and then that forced the offense to move, it went on the defense.
Yes, they're saying that the Monmouth player moved first. Here comes pressure. Moore gets off a high spiraling punt. Tasker calls for a fair catch and makes it at the Big Red 37-yard line. So Monmouth couldn't do anything with their chance of having the ball and retaking the lead. Cornell will now try to go up by two scores if they can. They lead it 27-23 and would love nothing more to put seven more on the board.
We'll see what Monmouth does now, because when Matt, they have been rushing four and dropping seven. Amrine has been finding holes in that secondary, particularly over the middle of the field.
Now it's time for the Hawk defense to make a big play here. And by big play, I mean get a turnover. Amrine from the shotgun trips off to his left, sends five out in the pattern, goes over the middle, finds Tasker, who will make the catch. Tackled immediately by Rodriguez at the 42-yard line. That goes as a gain of five and sets up second and five.
And for Cornell, that's just as good as a running play. If they're gaining 4, 5, 6 yards on these little ins and slants and keeping the clock running while having the lead, that's just like a team that can power run the football.
Second and five coming up here. Hawks in the 4-3 set defensively. Amrine flares it to the outside. Wanted that time number 85, Jake Allen, overthrew him into the Cornell sideline and brings up now a very key third down situation.
Well, this is the play you need to make now. Third and five. If you stop here, you could still get the ball with decent field position because of this wind, but you need to make a play. Amrine has done it all day with his arm. They need to try to get pressure on him.
Not showing any blitz right now. Monmouth in the nickel package. Four-man front. Three wide receiver set, two left, one right for the Big Red. Amrine steps up, throws, delivers a strike on the money, and it will be a first down. Grant Gallatly on the catch in Monmouth territory at the Hawk 48.
He sat right in his zone, right between the corner and safety, and Amrine delivered the ball on the money. He's not going to have a great completion percentage when this game is done, is Amrine, but he has been very effective.
First down and 10 now for Cornell. Tasker going to come near sideline to the right. Hildebrand will cover him. Two receivers up top to the left. Now Gallatly will go in motion behind the formation. And Amrine with tons of time. Lets one go. Wants Tasker down the seam. Has him at the 10. Spins forward to the 5. Went right between Hildebrandt and Pollard for another big catch.
It just seems as though these MU defensive backs are lost. Amrine is finding huge holes in the secondary. He was going underneath. This one's over the top. And Tasker, on a double move we see on the video board, able to find the seam and bring it down inside the 5-yard line. This has been every series, seemingly.
First down now in goal. Wildcat look. Nasita gets it. He will run it off the right side again and will score for the third time today. Made that look pretty easy. Cornell has scored on a couple of very quick drives here in the fourth quarter. They now lead it 33-23 with the extra point upcoming.
Doing this all without their All-American quarterback and All-American receiver and their starting center. And this offense hasn't missed a beat.
Here's Wells for the extra point. Tasker, the holder, knocks this one through, and Cornell leads by 11, 34-23. We step out for 30 seconds, 10:35 remaining here in the fourth quarter. We're back right after this with more Monmouth football on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
Right now, Cornell leading Monmouth by a score of 34-23. Hawks were up top 23-20, 14 straight now for the Big Red, all coming in the last just about 2 minutes. They have put up 14 points from the beginning of this fourth quarter to where we are right now, and there is still 10 minutes and 35 seconds remaining in quarter number four.
You said it before the timeout. Quick scores, quick strikes for the Big Red. And their quarterback, Chris Amrine, in a backup role, I'll tell you what, he is making people realize that he's potentially as good as their starter, Jeff Matthews, as he's going to near 400 yards when all is said and done.
Here's Wells to kick off. Booms this one high. and angled to his left. Nagy from 2 yards deep in the end zone. Comes out, gets to the 10, to the 15, out to the 20, 25 to the 30, and will get tackled on the back. And that was going to be a long run that time from Nagy. And give a lot of credit to number 40, Bobby Morani, the freshman safety from California. I think he may have just saved a touchdown.
It was the cut with the left foot, Matt, fake out, and he tried to hit the seam and go in. And you said it. I thought right when he cleared the 30, he was gone. A great tackle by Morani.
Well, I hate to say it with so much time left in the game, but this almost becomes a must-score situation for Monmouth. You can't go down by three scores. Frazier looking to get something started. Dumps in the flat for Nagy, who catches it at the 38-yard line. Tackled at the 38-yard line by Jarrett Watson-Lewis. A gain there of about four will leave Monmouth with a second and six.
And I think MU needs to go a little quicker because they're going to need at least one or two more possessions than Cornell when all is said and done. And the way the defense has been playing so far, they're going to have to score with them, and they're down 11.
Frazier sends Sumlin and Davenport up top to the right. George and Roberts in the pattern to the left. Roberts open over the middle, catches it at the 40-yard line, runs off a tackle to 35, gets all the way down to the 25-yard line with 10 minutes remaining. Monmouth with a couple of quick passes and now back in the scoring position themselves. They trail at 34-23.
Well, they got to keep the foot on the gas because, again, Cornell has been so dangerous with their quick strike ability. MU should try to match it here.
Trips this time off to the right. Roberts the single man back to the left. It'll be Nagy to get the carry. Right into the line on the left side. No gain. It'll bring up a second and 10.
It just seems as though, Matt, these last four games, that play, it almost looks like a wasted play. The push on the offensive line is not there, and is a Cornell team, again, that normally gives up decent yardage on the ground. MU has been moving it through the air much more easily today.
Frazier this time will go two left, two right. Nagy, the single back. He'll stay in to block. Now pop out as a receiver. Frazier in trouble, rolling off to his left, and will get taken down in the backfield. A sack on the play, number 92 that time for Cornell. Debu Sadoki sets up now third and 13. There was one. Frazier had to figure out a way to get rid of it.
Yeah, he can't take a sack. You've got to throw it away. The line didn't help him out too much either. But now, again, this is must score. Down 34-23.
Four down territory for sure. Frazier here on third and 13. Has tons of time. Now moves off to his right. Throws, short hops it, it's caught in the end zone, touchdown! A sliding Eric Sumlin comes over and gets it. They ruled as a score for MU on a ball that was underthrown by probably 3 or 4 yards. Great adjustment by Sumlin. Touchdown, Monmouth.
When Kyle Frazier escaped pocket right and he saw Sumlin, Matt, I was just hoping the ball had enough mustard to get out to Sumlin, who made a tremendous adjustment to come back hard to the football, doing a great job there not only to maintain possession, but he was in the end zone too.
Monmouth will go for two here to try to cut it to three and get it to within a field goal. Sterling, the single receiver off to the left. George and Davenport up top to the right. Fade pattern. Sterling, one-hand grab, didn't haul it in. Didn't have possession before he went out of the back of the end zone.
I don't know about that.
Well, referee making a call here as well. Nobody's running off the field.
I didn't hear what he said, but how's that not a catch?
Well, we're going to keep it right here because...
yeah, nothing's happening right now.
Nothing's happening. The offense hasn't gone off. And the defense for Cornell hasn't gone off either.
Was there a timeout called? Has Cornell taken a timeout this half?
Well, if they did, it would be one off the board right now.
Right, and it lists them as having two timeouts.
Well, that would be hard luck. I can't say 100% if Cornell got the time off in time. of the snap, but that is going to be the call. Cornell calling timeout. But the only problem I have with that is that they let the play go off, number one.
Right, and there was
and
no
then
whistle.
And then number two, Sterling caught it, and they ruled him out of bounds. So neither way it would have worked out for Monmouth. Actually, they are actually helped by Cornell calling this timeout.
Well, if I'm Monmouth, same play. Run the repeat right back to Neil Sterling.
Frazier has Sterling again. Wants him again. Throws, and the catch made by Sterling. They didn't go fade pattern. They went little inside-out route. Sterling hauls it in, and Monmouth has pulled to within three. 34-31, 8:25 to go now in the fourth quarter. We step out for 30 seconds. Back for more Monmouth football right after this on the Shore Sports Network. 8:25 remaining here in the fourth quarter. Cornell 34, Monmouth 31. Big scoring drive for Monmouth that time.
Five plays, 66 yards, and just a huge score by MU. The Sumlin sliding touchdown and the Sterling two-point conversion. And we are back to a three-point game, as Matt said, 34-31 Cornell.
Frazier with three touchdown passes on the day. That last one for Sumlin, 28 yards, and the two-point conversion. So Monmouth within three. Well, we've said it a couple times today. Now it's the defense's turn. When you score 31 points in a game, you know you're going to be in it. It's just whether or not you're in a shootout or you're in a blowout. And right now, Monmouth is in a shootout. Defense or special teams needs to make a play. The ball is blown off the tee a couple of times, so Monmouth will have to, I would think, have somebody come in and hold it. The second time that's happened, and the referees will usually only go for two of those before they let somebody come in and hold. Some good discussion going on right now on the sideline between Frazier, Roberts, and Sterling. I think seemingly just waiting until they get their hands back on the football again.
Well, neither offense has been stopped in this contest. The best defense for Colgate in this game has been Monmouth's miscues turning the football over. See, that's why I think MU's defense is due a turnover of their own. Cornell can't throw it so many times and not have something happen like that.
Thad Richards will come in and hold. Santangelo will kick it off. Golatly and Nasita both back deep. This will be Golatly from the 2-yard line. Near side hash mark, slips a tackle, and then able to bounce his way forward to the 23-yard line. Tyler Verga on the stop. 8:19 remaining, and here comes the Big Red offense back on the field. They have been tough to slow down here in this football game.
Well, the unit that you have to look at right now is that Monmouth secondary, which has been, there's no easy way to put it, torched in this game. They need to somehow make a play. It starts up front with the pressure, but they need to make a play on the back end.
Sullivan back in at the middle linebacker spot. Tasker in motion. Stops. Here's Mulatti on the carry. And he will pick up decent yards out to the 28-yard line. 5-yard pickup. One of the rare times Cornell has run the football on first down with 8 minutes remaining. Second and five coming up.
And they're doing this for a few reasons. One, trying to give their defense a break, but two, the clock right now is their ally as it takes under 8 minutes to go in this game.
Ball sitting right now on the Cornell 28. It'll be a three wide receiver set off to the left. On dash, the single man back to the right, and Hagee has come back in at the running back spot. They'll dump it in the flat for Hagee. He'll catch it at the 30, get dumped immediately by Cooper. She gave him a pretty good mark out to the 31-yard line. It'll go as a 3-yard pickup and a very large third down and two coming up.
You can't allow Cornell too many conversions here. Again, as up and down as this game has been, the clock still is ticking down. You got to stop here. You give yourself a ton of time. Weird spot for Cornell. What do they do here? Keep it on the ground, keep the clock running, or do you got to air it out?
Mulatti has come back in at the running back spot. He is the single back to the right. Cornell will throw. They'll flare it to the outside. That catch made by Jake Allen. A strike delivered by Amrine. And it is a first down out to the 38-yard line of the Big Red for Cornell.
That's not an easy throw. And Amrine made it look easy. Far hash to the far sideline. on the outside shoulder, and he put it right where it needed to be.
Gallatly, the single man up top to the right. Tasker and Ondash staying near sideline for Cornell. Play action for Amrine. Wants to go down the field again. And again, he's got a man wide open. This time, it's Gallatly. All the way down to the Monmouth 32-yard line. Again, finding spots in the zone. And a big first down reception will lead to another first down and 10. They'll put the ball at the MU 31.
Well, that time the Hawks had the deep routes covered, but it was the drag across the zone that killed him. Amrine waited for his receiver to clear, and when he did, he delivered a spot-on football. The Hawks need to do something here, Matt, to try and get this football back without another point being scored.
First down and 10, 6 minutes remaining. 34-31 Cornell. Gallatly and Tasker off the left side. That's the direction Amrine is looking. He's got Tasker open in the flat. Down inside the 20. Gets down to about the 15-yard line. They'll spot him at the 14. Pushed out by Pollard and Gray. Another first down reception. That one a 17-yard pickup for Cornell.
And unfortunately, I don't even know how you trail a receiver 4 yards off the line of scrimmage. Not a good angle to the football there. Not a good angle to the receiver. And Amrine, this backup quarterback, looks like an all-world performer this afternoon.
He sure does. He's been good. Back to the Wildcat look here for Cornell. Nasita will send Gallatly in motion. Nasita on a double reverse. It's Tasker. Has a missed tackle. Comes forward to the 11. Gets sandwiched somewhere between the 11 and the 12. Mama's saying there was a fumble. The official's not having any agreement with that. It'll go as a 2-yard pickup to the 12-yard line. Best thing Monmouth could do here defensively would be force a field goal attempt.
They can hold them to 3. You still give your offense an opportunity to win the game. Big play there by Mitchell Pollard at the corner spot. That play popped open, that reverse, but he did a good job holding his ground, shedding a block, and then sticking his head in there to make a play.
Second down and 8. Back to the regular offense for Cornell. Amrine gets it. Here comes some pressure. Throws in the flat. That catch is made. Slip tackle once, slip tackle twice. Now run out of bounds at the 6-yard line. The catch made by Grant Gallatly, the 5'10 junior. It'll be third down and 1 for Cornell.
This is going to sound weird. Yeah, he broke 2 tackles and you've got to tackle better. But he went out of bounds. So the clock stopped for at least a couple of seconds. So you bought yourself maybe a few back on the back end, but you've got to make the play. Hildebrandt Jr. missed the tackle. Sutton missed the tackle. And now it's third, and they call it a short 2.
Wildcat look in here. Gallatly in motion again. Nasita will take it up the middle. And again, he will score. 4th touchdown of the day for Silas Nasita. And Cornell back up by 2 scores, 40-31.
I don't know if Cornell hasn't run that play a lot this year. Coming into the game, Nasita had 17 carries, but Monmouth just has been bewildered by that play as he now has 4 rushing touchdowns, and now the Hawks again down by 2 scores. They're going to have to score and try to get an onside kick. Highly doubt they'll be able to kick it deep.
Here's John Wells for the extra point. Knuckles this one through the uprights and good. Cornell 41, Monmouth 31. We'll step out for 30 seconds. Back with more Hawk football right after this. You're listening to MU Football on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
8 plays, 72-yard scoring drive for Cornell, capped off by another Silas Nasita touchdown run, his 4th of the day. This is a guy in Nasita that came in with 1 touchdown on the ground all season. Cornell 41, Monmouth 31. So the pressure right back on the offensive side of the football for MU. Quick scoring update around the NEC. Albany continuing to lead St. Francis PA 22-13. In the fourth quarter now, Bryant 31, Robert Morris 28. And in the other NEC Ivy League matchup, Sacred Heart on top of Dartmouth 13-10. Duquesne fell for the first time in league play. Central Connecticut State gets their first win of the year. Blue Devils take that one 38-31. Here's Wells on to kickoff. Puts this one high. And at the 5-yard line, Nagy fields it. Had a good return last time. Not as successful this time around. Stopped shy of the 25-yard line to the 23. And boy, MU has had a couple of long scoring plays here today. One, an 85-yarder to Tristan Roberts, and had a couple of big plays in their last scoring drive. They kind of need the same thing here again.
Well, now it's one thing to tell your offense, hey, you got to score. It's another to tell them, hey, you got to score quick. Because with 3 timeouts, 4 minutes, 9 seconds remaining, the Hawks need to score, onside kick most likely, get it back, and score again. If they could score by the 2-minute mark now, they got a chance.
Frazier wants to throw. Dumps one over the middle. Richards makes the catch at the 25-yard line, able to run forward and get out of bounds at the 27. That's a 4-yard pickup. It'll give Monmouth a 2nd and 6. Is there a flag thrown?
I don't believe so.
Saw some referee discussion. There was. I see it now. It's at the 15-yard line. It is a hold on Monmouth.
Oh, wow.
So that will back up what would have been a 4-yard gain.
I was going to say it before that play, and now it's even more important. MU needs to treat the rest of this game like a 2-minute warning. You have to. You've got to go quick in between plays just because you need to allot yourself time to try to get all the points you need to get back in this game.
4 minutes now and rolling as Monmouth with a 1st and 20. Frazier dumps one down low for Hayes at the line of scrimmage. The catch was made. No gain on the play. It sets up 2nd and 20.
You're having so much success downfield in the seams. The little circle route to Julian Hayes, who's not even your best receiving tailback.
And Cornell read it very well. Now Monmouth in trouble. 2nd down and 20. 4 wide receivers out into the pattern. Frazier flush in the pocket, rolls off to his right, going to tuck it and run at the 15-yard line, breaks the tackle, will run out of bounds, past the 20, out to the 22-yard line is where they will spot a 9-yard pickup, but MU now with a 3rd down and 11.
Well, 2 downs to pick up 12 yards is what it is. Obviously, 4 down territory for the rest of this contest. Knowing that, you need to try to pick up 7 or 8, or, you know, make it a manageable 4th down. You don't want to have a 4th and 8, 4th and 9 situation.
See what Frazier can do here. Ball set from the MU 22-yard line on the right hash mark. George and Davenport up top to the right. Richards and Sterling bottom of the left. Frazier lets it go. Wants Sterling. And this one deflected down and incomplete. Sterling had to break back on the ball after it was already in the air. Didn't look like he and Frazier that time were on the same page.
I think there was an adjustment made. Sterling thought it was either some kind of go or back shoulder, and Kyle threw it way short, so Neal had to slam on the brakes, already has that bum ankle, wasn't able to do so. Here's your game right here.
4th down and 11 with 2 minutes and 50 seconds remaining. Monmouth has it at their own 22-yard line. Needing a 1st down to keep the game alive. 3-man pressure over the middle. Richards makes the catch. He'll have a 1st down for Monmouth. How about Thad Richards? Probably having his best game as a Hawk. Out to the 39, a 17-yard completion.
2 huge catches in this game. The 1 big 3rd down conversion here, making the play on 4th down.
Monmouth has got to get the offense cranked up here. 2:35 remaining. Frazier right back to the line. Now going to move Hayes from the right side to the left. 4 wide receiver set up. George, one of those guys. They'll dump it down over the middle. Look for Sterling. And that one deflected away. Incomplete. It'll set up a 2nd and 10.
They've taken almost, Matt, over now a minute and a half, and they're not even at midfield. Again, it's pure math at this point. You've got to get downfield in a hurry. I just want them to have a little bit more of a sense of urgency between plays.
Trips this time off to the right. Sterling, the single man, back to the left. Pass to the far sideline. Sumlin will catch it. He should get out of bounds. Instead, tried to get an extra yard or two, which he did, but stayed inbounds. 9-yard pickup. You'd be better off with a 7-yard pickup, and the clock stopped.
100% correct. They want to try and save these 3 timeouts for if they can get the football back. Ticking now under 2 minutes to go.
Davenport, Sumlin, and George to the near sideline left. Roberts, the single guy to the right. Here's Davenport to make the catch in Cornell territory at the 45-yard line. He wisely will hustle all the way to the sideline and run out of bounds with 1:51 left. Monmouth has it first and 10 at the Cornell 45-yard line. This one not done yet.
Good heads-up football by Davenport, who made the catch inside the numbers and then sprinted out of bounds, realizing that the clock is against MU here. They got to call two plays now and go quick.
Cornell leads by 10, 41-31. Frazier gets it, goes far side. Roberts makes the catch. Roberts at the 35-yard line. Roberts will run out of bounds at the 30. 15-yard pickup. You go 15 yards and 8 seconds. That's pretty good. You'll take that. But again, Monmouth needs to get themselves in the end zone.
Nice block on the outside by George. Allowed Roberts to pick up an additional few yards and get out of bounds to stop the clock.
A lot of points today. A lot of yards. Frazier has it. Bubble screen set up for Roberts. Back to the middle of the field at the 25-yard line. I think MU's got to use a timeout. 1:35 left. No, the coaches are saying get back to the line. 90 seconds remaining.
And then Roberts, they make a substitution, too.
Roberts running out. Davenport running in. Frazier wanting the play. Hawks taking a long time in. Just dumped out, and we apologize for the technical glitch. Frazier found Sterling, and he carried three guys into the end zone. 41-38 with 68 seconds remaining. Hawks have pulled it within four. 41-37.
Good throw, but don't be fooled. That play was all number 17, dragging Big Red into the end zone with him for the touchdown. Now we can start talking about the onside.
Spillane on for the extra point to cut it to three. Good snap, good hold. Kick is up, and that is good. We'll step out here for 30 seconds. Cornell 41, Monmouth 38. 1:08 to go in the fourth quarter. We're back in 30 seconds with more Hawk football on the Shore Sports Network.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
Well, everybody knows what's coming right now. An onside kick attempt for Monmouth. 1:08 to go in the fourth quarter. Cornell with a three-point advantage. 41-38, Big Red lead.
Well, it's easy now. You just have to recover the onside kick. No big deal. Hands team in. You got to get that good bounce to pop it up and give Sterling or Roberts or George a chance to go get the ball.
Santangelo will kick to his left where he has six white jerseys lined up, four back to the right. Gets a good bounce and coming forward to field it. Well, nice play made there by Kurt Ondash. He stepped in before that second bounce, which is the key one, could even take place. And able to field it for Cornell. Hard luck as Santangelo, I think, got off what looked like it was going to be a good kick.
Yeah, it never got to that bounce. You don't see that play made often. The player on the hands team almost intercepting the onside kick by not letting it go 10 yards. MU with three timeouts now. Got to try to get the football back.
And they've got to make some stops. Nasita will come on that Wildcat formation. Galatly across the formation. Nasita gets it. This play has vexed Monmouth all day long at the 39-yard line. That goes as a gain of three. Timeout called immediately with 61 seconds remaining. It'll be second and seven.
Yeah, Monmouth has looked. Remember when the Dolphins ran this against the Patriots? And the Patriots looked lost, and Ronnie Brown had four touchdowns or five touchdowns. MU has looked like that against the Cornell Wildcat in this game. And Matt, outside of the reverse, they haven't done anything that crazy out of it. It's been power right guard.
Right up the middle. And now Amrine will come back in at the quarterback spot. I mean, you'd have to think that Cornell would keep the ball on the ground, though stranger things have happened, and with the success the Big Red have had, they may just throw it.
Well, and remember, they throw almost as a pass. They keep it in the flat. They do like to go down the seam route. If you're MU, you got to drive a player out of bounds or tackle him quick, as they will stay Wildcat.
Nasita Looks like he'll get the direct snap again. Gladly in motion. Nasita gets it. Will run up the middle again, just off the right side. Gets one this time to the 38-yard line, and another timeout is taken. So Monmouth has done what they needed to do. They've set up third down with 56 seconds remaining. They've got a hold here for one more play and force Cornell into, you would think, a punt.
Well, that's what I was just thinking. Let's say, well, Nasita just came off the field, so they might look to throw here. But if they elect to run, Monmouth will call timeout, obviously. Probably happen at around 48, 50 seconds or so. Then if you're Cornell, do you say, you know what? We're going to run it again, and we're going to run the ball, or we're going to throw it, and then we're only going to give you what could maybe amount to 45 seconds left and no timeouts? Or do you pooch punt inside your own 40-yard line? Oof, I don't think Coach Kent wants to make that call.
Kent Austin, the third-year head coach, has Monmouth and Cornell playing for the first time in their respective histories. MU will play another Ivy League team next year in Columbia. Next 2 years, a home-and-home setup with Columbia. But now a big third down and six. Amrine back in at the quarterback spot. He's going to want to throw. Flares one to the outside. He's got a man right at the first down marker. And I believe this is going to be enough to stretch the chains out. I mean, right at the first down marker. It is at the 32-yard line, and that is where the down marker is. Referee says first down, and that will just about do it.
How about that? In a game that was, it's going to end up being 41-38 most likely, the difference was a couple inches on a fourth down conversion.
Well, give a lot of credit that time to Amrine, who threw it right where it needed to go.
And it's a smart enough receiver to know where the marker is.
Monmouth is going to lose a heartbreaker and fall to 3-3 now on the season. 41-38. Clock winding down inside of 20. Now inside of 15. MU needed that stop on third down to set up a punt. But instead, on their first trip up here to Schoelkopf Field and Cornell, the Big Red will win this football game. They will go to 3-2 now on the year. Monmouth falling to 3-3. Final score, 41-38. We step out for 60 seconds. We'll come back and try to wrap this one up for you. We'll have scores from around the NEC and from around the country. 60-second timeout. Cornell 41, Monmouth 38. We're back in 60 seconds on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
Cornell 41, Monmouth 38. Final score from up here in Ithaca as Monmouth losing a heartbreaking game where the offense put together 38 points but did turn the ball over a couple of times. And seemingly that was kind of one of the differences in this game. We can talk about the defense, and certainly we will. And they did not have their best game, but Cornell did not turn the ball over. They put 41 on the board, and you'd have to think if Monmouth had those extra possessions in the second half, they could have added maybe 7, maybe 10 more points, and we might be talking about things in a different way. But all in all, this is a tough loss. The defense did not play up to standard for really the second straight week after giving up big points to Albany, 55-41 here today to Cornell.
Yeah, Matt, they got gashed in the secondary. Chris Amrine was fantastic today, and then when they needed to run it near the goal line in the Wildcat play, Nasita had 4 touchdowns. He came into the game with 1 touchdown. It's a shame because Kyle Frazier in the offense was very good today throwing the football. They still have to clean some things up as far as being able to run offensively. Tough game. I think coming into things, once you found out Cornell was without their starting quarterback, an offensive lineman, a weapon on the outside, that you thought MU would have the advantage in this game, but this Cornell team was very impressive today. Offensively, they are a very gifted team throwing the football.
They sure are, and probably will get better when Jeff Matthews comes back into the lineup, which may be expected as early as next week when Cornell will take on Brown, and they'll go back into their Ivy League schedule for Monmouth. They'll have to regroup now and take on Bryant next week on homecoming, and if things hold up the way they do right now, they'll take on a Bulldog team which has not yet won a football game. They trail right now to Robert Morris 34-31, and that's not really a fun situation for anybody. But a Cornell program, obviously, with so much history here and, you know, playing in the Ivies, the Ivy League, and Monmouth playing an Ivy League team for the first time, this was not the result that I think many would have anticipated when you heard about the injuries. But, boy, you've got to give a lot of credit to number five in red, Chris Amrine, who played a whale of a football game today as a backup quarterback. Final score, Cornell 41, Monmouth 38. So let's take you around the Northeast Conference scoreboard. The first final of the day came in early. Central Connecticut State got their first win of the season and their first league win of the year, knocking off Duquesne, who falls to 4-1 now in conference play. 38-31, the final score from up in New Britain. One other Ivy League NEC matchup going on there in the third quarter, Sacred Heart leading Dartmouth by a score of 20-10. Albany still on top of St. Francis, Pennsylvania. Great Danes starting to pull away. They lead 29-13 very late in that game. And as we mentioned, Robert Morris leading Bryant 34-31. Top 25 scoreboard, Rutgers is now 6-0 on the year. The Scarlet Knights will more than likely climb up the polls in the top 25. Came in today at number 20. They beat Syracuse 23-15. Kansas State also 6-0. The number 6 team of the country knocks off Iowa State 27-21. Oklahoma in the Red River Shootout blowing out Texas 56-8 to score right now late in the fourth quarter. Illinois and Michigan just up and running. Alabama's opened up a 7-0 lead on Missouri. It is, well, this can't be right. It says Texas Tech 1 and West Virginia nothing. How do you get to 1?
They obviously bunted the guy over, and they were able to sacrifice him home. Is that what it says?
Squeeze play?
That's what it says.
It says 1-0. I don't think it's 1-0, so let's assume that maybe it is 7-0, because it does say that Texas Tech had an extra point. So I'm going to say 7-0 they lead West Virginia. Just a guess there.
I hope it's 1-0. I really do.
I don't know if you can score. It's at,
hang on, I'll find that for you.
If score and then take the touchdown off, but settle for the extra point. What else we have? It is Boise State and Fresno State scoreless. Same story between Oregon State and BYU. Notre Dame and Stanford have just kicked off. That game is scoreless as well. One other final, actually, in the top 25. Louisville now 6-0 as well. They beat Pitt by a score of 45-35. 7-0?
It is 7-0, yes.
Not 1-0?
It's not, no.
All right. Well, that is the top 25 scoreboard games that have become complete or games that have just got up and running. What we will do is take a 60-second timeout. We'll come back and wrap this one up. We'll look at some final stats, some final thoughts, and a look ahead to next week's game against the Bulldogs of Bryant on homecoming day in West Long Branch. Tough one here today to stomach for MU. They fall 41-38 to Cornell. We're back right after this 60-second break on the Shore Sports Network.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
Our postgame show today brought to you by Sonic of Tinton Falls. The Sonic Drive-In now open just minutes away from campus in Tinton Falls, open until midnight. The Tinton Falls Sonic located right off Route 35 in the A&P Shopping Center. Matt Harmon, Eddie Acapinti back here to wrap up with a couple of final thoughts. This Cornell victory over Monmouth, who falls now to 3-3, 41-38 the final score. And Eddie, we thought this would certainly be a shootout type of game. It turned out to be exactly just that. Great performance out of Chris Amrine, the backup quarterback for Cornell, as their All-American Jeff Matthews saddled with a neck injury. And Amrine did what maybe some could have been surprised, and certainly as a backup quarterback, you're a backup for a reason, but he picked apart the Monmouth secondary today. The Big Red able to score via the pass, via the run. Silas Nacita, the backup running back out of that Wildcat formation, scoring four times today, and the Cornell offense just a little too much for MU to handle.
Well, and you made a good point, Matt, as we began the postgame. Those first-half turnovers for the Hawks really limited them as far as possession-wise and then what they could do moving forward. But you have to leave this game being very impressed with Cornell offensively. The system they have in place obviously works because they had players doing it today who weren't regular starters in addition to their normal contributors. They're a very good team. They can score points, obviously. Doesn't matter who's chucking it because they can score.
Cornell will go back into their Ivy League schedule, and they've been a bit up and down so far this year, but they go now to 3-2 on the year. And for Monmouth, kind of an interesting road for the next couple of weeks. They go back into the NEC. They go back in the conference play for the remaining part of the year, and for the first time all season, they've lost back-to-back games, and saddle that in with a week off. So in 3 weeks, you've lost to Albany, a heartbreaking loss that maybe derailed your conference title hopes. And this one, I think an opportunity for Monmouth to make a bit of a statement that maybe they could be a force to be reckoned with for the second half of the league schedule, even though this was a non-league game. But I think what it has shown you is that MU has some stuff to work on continuing now for the last five games of the season.
Right. It shows teams now the rest of the way that Albany, at least defensively, maybe wasn't the fluke that I think we as Monmouth fans thought it was, that there are obvious holes in this defense, that there are points to be had if you can throw the football with accuracy and with efficiency. It also shows that Monmouth can score points as well. It really will be interesting next week. Bryant, team that's struggling this season, at home, homecoming. Hopefully the Hawks can come out with a big effort. This defense was so good those first couple of games, and then these last two have just, it's not the same unit that we saw the first month of the year.
Our post game also brought to you today by Chevy. It is our Chevy drive of the game. See your local Chevy dealer or visit ChevyOffers.com. You know, it's hard to pick one drive that comes out, but if I had one thing that maybe kind of stuck in my head a little bit, it was after Pete Nagy caught the touchdown pass and Monmouth was able to pull the game to 20-20, but a missed extra point, believe it or not. I think not changed the complexion of the game because points were still scored, but it was an opportunity for Monmouth to play from in front a little bit more than they did today. It seemed like each time Monmouth took a shot at Cornell, Cornell was able to answer right back, and it was Cornell who played from 3, who played from 8, who played from 11 points in front sometimes. Monmouth could never really get that cushion and put the pressure back on Cornell, though Monmouth did lead 23-20 at one point. Cornell really played from in front pretty much the whole game.
Yeah, and they played kind of relaxed, and their defense wasn't great either in this game, obviously, by evidence of the fact they gave up 38. It's just a different mindset when you're out there, when you look up and see that your team has the advantage, knowing, hey, we got to stop. Not only are we leading, but we're going to get the ball back, and I have an opportunity to add to it. And it's something that Monmouth will need to get back next week against the Bulldogs.
Check the long-range weather forecast because it's homecoming next week, which was an absolute disaster last year with the weather and pretty cold, as I remember, a couple years ago as well. Our next upcoming game presented by Coach USA. Coach USA, driven with pride. Better get on that, buddy. 41-38, the final score here for Cornell. Next up for Monmouth will be a game against the Bulldogs of Bryant, which could come into the game next Saturday afternoon winless. They're playing in a shootout-type game against Robert Morris right now. And at last check, Robert Morris, who struggled this year as well, was leading that game by 3 midway through the fourth quarter. But what we know about Bryant is they have a couple of big play type players. Jordan Brown, one running the football. Jordan Harris, another catching the football. Their problem has been at the quarterback spot, but if they figure that out a little bit and they're putting points on the scoreboard today, it might be another tough game for Monmouth defensively.
Well, again, it's been evidence that you can score on this defense, especially the way it's constructed now, and you can do it with the big play. We saw Cornell hit big plays. They sustained drives, and you mentioned the Jordans. For Bryant, Harris and Brown are two of the better playmakers in this conference. They just need to get a little help. And if they do, next week's game could be a shootout. I hope you're ready for another one.
I will rest up my voice and be ready for next Saturday afternoon. A long ride back home about set to commence. Warm up the Toyota. We've got to trek back to the Jersey Shore right now with a loss and a tough one to saddle at that. 41-38. The final score for Cornell. Monmouth falling to 3-3. Next up, Bryant on homecoming Saturday in West Long Branch. As Monmouth will try to get back on the winning side, they'll head into that game at 3-3. Partner, I'll talk to you during the week. Great job out of you, as always.
Sounds good, and we'll get you at the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show Tuesday at Jack's.
Each and every Tuesday we do that. We'll have a lot to talk about and discuss this one and get you sent for the Bryant game as well. Our thanks back to Lauren Bajik in the studios today of 1160, 1310 a.m. For Eddie Iacopiti, Matt Harmon saying so long from Ithaca, New York. Cornell beats Monmouth 41-38 We'll talk to you Tuesday night from Jack's Goal Line Stand next Saturday in West Long Branch as the Hawks will welcome in Bryant. Final score again, Cornell 41, Monmouth 38. So long from Ithaca. You've been listening to Monmouth Football on the Shore Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. The Monmouth University Athletic Department would like to thank the following sponsors who made this broadcast possible. Coke Zero, football-related chest bumps, high fives, and trash talk. Brought to you by Coke Zero. Enjoy every day. The NJEA, making public schools great for every child. Atlantic Physical Therapy Center, with five locations in the Shore area, helping to get you back in the game. The Penalty Box Cafe, laser tag, arcade birthday parties, located at the Jersey Shore Arena in Farmingdale. First Atlantic Federal Credit Union, Barnabas Health, Sonic, America's Drive-In, and the Asbury Park Press. This is the Monmouth Hawks Radio Network, a production of the Monmouth University Department of Athletics.